But one advantage of reading and writing science fiction, and I do include reading, is that it makes you able to step back and take a look at humanity from a slightly longer perspective. And from this perspective, you find out something very surprising. For a long time now, we've been using computer devices, and we're beginning to use them increasingly. One of the oldest is this simple cyborg tool, without which Voltaire would have been done at finished as a reader and writer at 27, our own Ben Franklin in his early 20s. Someone should write a paper someday on what this simple cyborg tool has meant in the wealth of art, science, and knowledge that we now have. We've gone on beyond that. Hearing aids, pacemaker hearts. I have a friend who has been kept alive the last 5 years by a mechanical kidney. I think including in new cyborg tools that we're using in devices, we have to certainly include Apollo spacesuits and capsules. What are they, actually? They're nothing more than a new, improved skin for our human body, a new skin for a new environment with greatly improved heating and cooling abilities. What I'm saying is that we have actually reached the point in our tool-making ability where we humans can begin to reshape ourselves. We are no longer dependent on slow genetic evolvement as the only way of adapting ourselves to new environments. Now, this has something interesting to do with a lot of speculation, I'm sure, that's happened here. I know that everyone has been in a conversation. If we are ever visited by extraterrestrial life, an extraterrestrial life form, what is it likely to look like? It may interest you that some of the most advanced scientific speculation now is that any species, any life form capable of these vast distances, interstellar distances, has very likely left this flesh and blood, this organic stage of its evolution, thousands or perhaps millions of centuries behind, because a machine obviously is much better equipped for traveling through spaces. And believe me, it's written nowhere that conscious intelligence cannot ultimately be planted into a machine, or the machines cannot be built that can feel, sense, appreciate beauty, know joy, and perhaps even reproduce in perhaps different ways than we do, but lovely and graceful and pleasant ways. Oh, a machine has other great advantages. On these vast voyages, the one that sounds almost simple is it can turn itself off at the beginning of such a long voyage, and 500,000 light years later can have itself turned on, and in its consciousness only a second has passed. And obviously it can change its exterior to meet any kind of new environment it meets on the way. And in discussing machines, certainly you must understand they're not talking about cogs and bolts or even our most advanced transistors and so on. What they're talking about are living things that may in our eyes even be incredibly graceful and lovely.
Not wishing to be hostile or unoptimistic, I'd be curious what you visualize as what you mentioned as the Star Trek era in our future, given the fact that the type of things in Star Trek that made it possible, the warp factors and the teletransportation of matter, are virtually ridiculous scientifically now.
Yes, you're quite right. They are. The reason we have teleportation, the type of thing we had, was simply I couldn't afford on my television budget to land that big mother on a planet every week.